To bring in David Schoenfeld. And, of course, as I've said, he writes for ESPN. Tremendous articles every week, and we love having him on. David, how are you today?
I'm good. Thanks for the invite, Marty.
Oh, no, we're very happy to have you. And I sort of teased a little bit before we took our break that you wrote an article this week. We really took a lot of research, and that is going through every team in baseball and trying to figure out what they need and what may be the trade and if they're going to be a buyer or a seller. I thought you did a nice job with that. How long did it take you to put that together?
Well, my editors make fun of me because they call me the king of the 30-team articles. But at ESPN, you know, we serve a national audience, so, you know, we try to touch on all 30 teams sometimes in these pieces. So, yeah, a lot of research, a lot of homework. You know, the hard thing this year is kind of figuring out how that extra wild card team is going to factor into everything. Does that mean more teams will be aggressive because they have a better chance at making the playoffs? Or does it not change anything? That's kind of what we'll find out here before the trade deadline the next few weeks.
Yeah, what's your thought about it? Because, you know, when you had the wild card game to play in, and look, the Dodgers beat the Cardinals. The next thing you knew, the Dodgers and Giants were squaring off. Two of the best records. This year, you get sort of, a three-game series. So six plays three and four plays five, and five and six, all the games would be on the road. Does that make a big difference to you, or is the fact that, hey, you got a three-game series, if you got Webb and Rodon, and, DeSclafani, he's out, but Wood is around, and Cobb, why not take a shot at it?
Yeah, I think so. I think what we learned that if a team knew they weren't going to win the division, you know, but they were going to be a wild card, that one game wild card wasn't really much of an incentive to make a big trade, to go for one of the big guys out on the market. If you look through this 8-9 years of the one game playoff, that the teams making the bigger trade were the ones already in first place. You know, think back to Houston with Justin Verlander in 2017. They were already a 100-win team that year. They had a great team. They're like, well, let's get that one other guy to really give us a shot to win the World Series. You know, or think of the Dodgers with Manny Machado and Yu Darvish. You know, so it seemed like the big trades were the teams just trying to get even better. But I think that three-game playoff, yeah, because if you're the Giants, you know, as an example, you're like, yeah, we have a fighting shot, not only in a best of three, but a best of five with you know, two number one caliber starters. So I think it means, not, of course, this year's trade market isn't that great, right? There's not a lot of big names out there, but I think it opens it up to more teams being more aggressive.
You know, it's interesting. Of course, there's a long way to go, but we love to talk about it. Now, let's say the Giants get into the sixth spot. Let's say they get there, and they've got to play the third team, which more than likely will be Milwaukee. And they match up pretty well, and Milwaukee's got their couple of starters. They've got Hader there, but they don't hit the heck out of the ball. And let's say they get past Milwaukee in the three-game series. You know, they win two of three. Then they get either, probably, the Mets or the Dodgers, and they've played head-to-head with both of those teams. The Mets beat them 4 out of 7, but they're great games, and the Dodger-Giant games are classic. So if I'm the Giants, and I'm three back of the wild card right now, and I've got 3 weeks to go, I'm staying in it, and I'm going to try to add a piece. And that's when my next question to you, if the Giants do stay in this thing, and they don't sell, and they add, what do they do?
Yeah, it'll be interesting before I answer that question because, as an example, are the Reds going to trade Luis Castillo? He's one of the best pitchers out there. The A's, Frankie Montas, looked like he'd be the best pitcher. I still don't think we've got an update. He left his last start after one inning with a sore shoulder, so he might not be available. So, Carlos Rodon, boy, he suddenly would be a very, very valuable chip. But I'm with you. I don't think the Giants will do that unless they just fall apart here, you know, in the next, 3 weeks or so. So I think they'll look to add. Now, I think in my article, I had them going after a starting pitcher. You know, I think we'd all agree they need more depth. They need a little bit of everything right now, the way they've been playing lately. Yep. I had them going after Zach Greinke, who's not a number one or number two. He's a number four kind of guy right now, but he's a veteran, a lot of postseason experience. And I think, again, the Giants, they're not going to give up any of their big prospects, right? That's just not in the position they're in with a 500 record. But they might look to add at the bottom of the team. So I don't know if you would agree with starting pitching, but that would be my call.
Yeah, I would agree. Now, of course, in the playoffs, you don't need five.
Right.
And they've got Wood and Cobb, and both of them are about five-inning pitchers, and you need to have the bullpen behind them. I like Greinke. I like the idea of another starter, but with Wood and the other one, Cobb, I don't see them making that much of a difference. Rodon, who now is going to have his option met, he's going to get his 110 innings in a couple of weeks, and he's probably going to be playing for a big contract. And Webb, I think you've got two good pitchers. So I would go more to the bullpen because I think the way the Giants have gone through this season, the bullpen, as we've talked about on the show today, Brebbia leads the major leagues with 40 appearances. Rogers and Duvall are right behind him. I think if you can bring me one or two dominant relief pitchers, major league relief pitchers, I would go that way, and I would then piggyback the starting pitcher in a game three or game four, however they had to do it.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that either. You know, bottom line is they got to improve their run prevention. It was so good last year, and I think we kind of all knew it was going to be difficult to replicate that this year. And bullpens, we see this from teams across the sport. Bullpens can be great one year and not so great the next year. It just almost just seems random. So, yeah, and look, there's always relief pitching out there. It's always a roll of the dice, you know. I don't know who the best guy out there. It could be David Robertson, you know, the old veteran. He's come back this year after basically missing a couple years with Tommy John surgery. He's been really good for the Cubs. Another guy with a ton of postseason experience, if you think that matters. But there's always relievers out there.
Yeah, I would look at that list, and I think there's a lot of them that could be moved, a lot of them. And that's where I would go for the Giants. Now, San Diego is an interesting team. They just don't hit for me. They don't hit enough. They're lefty loaded. Now, Tatis is not around, and you bring a lefty in against Tatis and Machado, and you got a different situation. But they need a hitter. Luke Voit, it can be dealt with. We've seen him in the six games that these two teams have played, six, eight games, whatever it is. I'd say they need a right-handed hitter. Where do you go with that?
Yeah, so my pick for them was Josh Bell, the first baseman for the Nationals, having a really good year. Could be their all-star rep if Juan Soto doesn't make it. There's going to be a lot of teams going after Bell. You know, he's a switch hitter. Doesn't give you a whole lot on defense, but you can slot him in at first or DH. But I look at that San Diego lineup, and Eric Hosmer had that great start in April, hit 360 or 370 or something in April. And, well, the last 2 months he's back to Eric Hosmer, which for a first baseman, it's not good production for a first baseman. And he's kind of been a hole in their lineup for 3 or 4 years now, other than he was really good during the COVID year. But otherwise, he doesn't give you a whole lot. Now, the problem, he makes a lot of money. Are you going to bench a guy making $21 million? But are you trying to win? You know, and like you said, they need a hitter. Josh Bell's going to be available. He's going somewhere. He fits their lineup. You know, you add him and Tatis, now that lineup in the second half could really do something.
Yeah, that's the one I like. Now, you have interesting. Now, I like the Marlins. I grew up in Miami, a good part of my life in Miami. So I sort of follow the Marlins, and Alcantara may be the best pitcher in the National League right now. Lopez started off as the best pitcher in the league, and he's come back a little bit. But Miami's 40-42. They're only a few. They're one game behind the Giants, pretty much. They're still much in the wild card, but you have Pablo Lopez being traded from the Marlins. And that one, when I saw that, I said, I got to ask David about this.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now, and I would disagree with myself on this one.
All right, very good.
I think they've gone on a little bit of a – have they played well the last week, maybe, since I wrote that? But, yeah, it seems like everybody is trying to get the Marlins to trade a Lopez. You know, he's a really good pitcher, solid number two. He's got a couple more years of team control. So he would really bring them back a lot. And, boy, does that team – need an outfield. I've watched their games against the Mets the past couple nights, and just an absolutely horrible defensive outfield. They're not getting any offense, you know, to make up for it. So the theory would be throw Lopez out there, get a legitimate center field, you know, kind of prospect. You know, you get a plus, a couple arms. But like you said, now they're in that chase. And look, the Marlins, other than COVID season, you know, with the expanded playoffs, they haven't made the playoffs since 2003, the year they won the World Series.
Right.
So, you know, a team like that, a playoff berth would really mean a lot, even if it's one and done, you know, or three and done, you know. So I don't think they would trade Lopez, but, you know, you got to play it smart. You got to throw him out there. And if you get a huge return, I think they would have to consider it.
Well, that would be interesting. David Schoenfield is with us. You can read him on ESPN. He does a great job as we're just chatting about baseball here. The other one is Will Contreras, Wilson Contreras, of course, for the Cubs. Do the Cubs keep him? Do they rebuild with him? Because, look, let me tell you, the Giants would love to have his bat in the lineup.
Yep.
You know, they've got problems
yeah.
at catcher, but where does he – I assume he's going to go somewhere. That's my feeling.
Yeah, so he's a free agent. The Cubs are still rebuilding. And as we know, once a player hit free agency, if you haven't re-signed them, they almost always go somewhere else. So at this point, yeah, they're going to trade him. He's the best position player available. He's starting the All-Star game. And there's some teams that need catching, the Giants, but there's also two first-place teams that really could use him, and that's Houston and the Mets. Now, the Astros, they got Martin Maldonado, who they love defensively. He's a great game caller, all that kind of stuff. But he can't hit at all. And the Mets are getting no offense from their catching, you know. So, and look, I know it's always a little risk to bring in a new catcher in the middle of the year. But this guy's a veteran, you know. He's been back there a long time. So I think he would, you know, fit in pretty easily. But again, teams, you know, if you have a really good defensive catcher, you're reluctant to make that change, you know. But both those teams, boy, if you had Wilson Contreras to either of those two teams, boy, it makes them a lot better in my book.
Boy, I like him here. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
The Giants need a bat in that lineup, and that's one of the issues, that they just can't score any runs right now, and they're averaging like 2.7 runs in the last couple of weeks. So that's what has dragged them down, along with other defensive concerns. David, let me ask you this. I'd like to put people on the spot a little bit, and we've done this the last week or so. September 1st, Labor Day, give me your playoff leaders on September the 1st, and that would take into consideration all the things we talked about. Who do you see leading the pack on September 1st or so?
Oh, wow. That is putting me on the spot. Well, let's see. I'll start with the Yankees, right? That's the easy one.
That's easy. All right. Very good. We'll give you that
one. Marty, as a Mariners fan, I grew up in Seattle. Of course, Seattle, they've never been to a World Series, let alone win one. So all us Mariner fans have is that record, 116 wins in 2001. So it'll be interesting to see if the Yankees are chasing that record on September 1st, you know, because right now they're on pace to give it a run, which would be pretty amazing. AL Central, it's wide open. The Twins are leading right now. You know, I think the White Sox going to make a run here. They've had a really disappointing first half. I'm not sold on the Twins or the Guardians, so I'll say the White Sox are leading the Central, and
okay. Obviously
Houston in the AL West. In the NL, boy, Mets Braves, I think that's going to be a great race. You know, DeGrom, he's made a couple rehab starts. He'll be back in a couple weeks. Scherzer's back, looked really good the other night. But the Braves, have you seen this kid? Maybe you guys have played him. Spencer Strider. this rookie. He's moved into the rotation, throws 100 miles an hour, unhittable breaking ball, striking out 10, 11 guys a game. He is an unbelievable talent. So he's really given that boost to their rotation. But I'll stick with the Mets, in part because I think they're going to make a big trade at the deadline. Okay. And El Central, Brewers, Cardinals, that's a coin flip. I'll go Cardinals and Dodgers in the West. So those are all my right. division leaders on the first.
All right, because we still have a lot of baseball to be played, and we haven't even talked about the wild card, which, of course, you get you know, the three wild cards in each league, and that's going to be because everybody's in it, and that's the fun of it. Well, you do great work. I really had fun with this article. And I encourage everyone to look you up on ESPN. So, David, I appreciate you being on, as always. Love to have you back with us.
You bet. Anytime. Thanks again.
All right. Very good. David Schoenfield, and he writes for ESPN.